one word that I can describe that game, and that was wow.
I went to this game. I paid $8 a ticket, and I want my money back.
Section 323, which I believe is going to be unfiltered, uncensored, full of raw emotion. And before we get to all that, we just want to mention that find this and all of our other work with Dan in the three-man booth there at BuzzChomp. You can follow us on Instagram, Bud does the view from Section 323 Instagram page. It's Section 323 Podcast. We'll find it there. We're floating around Facebook somewhere, and once in a while, if I ever decide to turn the Twitter on, we'll start doing that, but those are other various locations you can find all of our other endeavors. So without any further ado, I think there's only one topic we're going to start with, so I will give you the floor.
How are you, Phil?
I'm wonderful. The question is, how are you?
Well, last night we were today is Wednesday. We didn't do this last night, which we normally do on Tuesday, because there was a football game on last night. So I'm watching a football game. Lori and I were going back and forth with something else, and then all of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up.
You know it can't be good at that point.
No, it can't be good at that point. Like, the first thing I think is, like, oh, my God, you know, something happened to somebody that I care about. And then I looked at my phone, and no, it's quite the opposite. So what has actually evolved into, besides just an utter disgrace of a football team, the New York Jets have officially turned into a fucking circus. It's
with Adam Gase as your ringleader. Adam Gase is your ringleader, by the way.
It's absolutely awful. Like, if you read the article that I wrote for BuzzChomp, I said that they needed to trade Le'Veon Bell. And the reason I said that they needed to trade Le'Veon Bell is because there's clearly a disconnect between this coach and this player. Coach didn't want him in the first place. Joe Douglas didn't sign into the contract. Mike Maccagnan did. He is on paper your best offensive weapon. You didn't give him the ball. You gave him the ball 13 times. You only threw the ball to him once. You would have thought that a quarterback that had not played in over a year, who was very rusty, you would have put the ball in Le'Veon's hands. There was for 17 games, there was zero attempt to get Le'Veon involved in the offense. None. This is, in my eyes, a firm reflection on Adam Gase's coaching ability. He does this everywhere he goes. You can look around the league to the other team, to the other players that he has put out on an island because he felt like they weren't good enough. Ryan Tannehill looked unbelievable last night, and he has, ever since he took over the starting job in Tennessee, he's looked nothing short of a great franchise quarterback. He gave up on Kenyon Drake. Now, Kenyon Drake has been slightly injured this year and towards the end of last year. Kenyon Drake is a good, valuable running back. You gave up on Jamal Adams. You gave up on Leonard Williams. You gave up on now Le'Veon Bell.
Robbie Anderson.
You didn't want to sign Robbie Anderson because you didn't think he was that good. The bigger picture here is, why can't this team keep any of their marquee players? How come every single one of their marquee players says, you know what, this is a shit show and I don't want to play here anymore? The only way that this team can get anybody of caliber is they have to overpay. There's nobody in their right mind that would have paid $40, $50 million for Le'Veon Bell. But they did it, right? So if you're going to pay that guy for running back one money and you never use him, it's on the Jets. And the fact that you just let this guy walk away for nothing, you got nothing for him. Like, it just goes to show you that, one, nobody wanted to take over his contract, which is a bunch of bullshit, because the Jets are paying him $6 million to play against them now. Are paying him
depending where
$6 million to not play for the New York Jets anymore this year. Somebody could sign him for the veteran league minimum, pay him $800,000, $950,000, and basically get Le'Veon Bell for free.
Yep, that is true. That's what's going to happen.
It is befuddling to me that this team continues to make the same stuff. Not only is the product on the field bad, which we'll get into in a couple of minutes against an Arizona team that Kyler Murray threw for almost 400 yards. I say it every week. Every quarterback that they play, they make him look like a Hall of Famer. They couldn't stop the running game, couldn't stop the passing game. Joe Flacco, why is Joe Flacco throwing 35 times? Joe Flacco is one hit away from being paralyzed. He can't turn his neck to the left, and you're asking him to throw the ball 35 times in a game. This team now has to go through the rest of the year with Frank Gore as their running back. Apparently, there's rumors going around now that they're trying to shop Jamison Crowder. It doesn't surprise me.
Jeez.
Because why not get rid of their best player now on the team? Jamison Crowder is the only person who can catch the ball. Chris Herndon, who Adam Gase, and here's a product of his talent evaluation, called him a unicorn in the offseason, and he was going to be the best tight end in the league. Can't catch a fucking hold.
Well, he's a unicorn.
Can't catch anything.
He's a unicorn, all right, because he can't find him anywhere on the field.
It is just baffling to me that this team, it starts from the top. I wrote it in my article. It starts from the top. It starts from ownership. The ownership is bad. It's been bad for 25 years. Then it goes to Joe Douglas. I'll give Joe Douglas a slight pass because he took over this dumpster fire of a hellhole. But I'll tell you what he's Becton looks good, but he's injured, right? So he's not on the field. The offensive line that he touted that he was going to rebuild is awful. It's a complete failure. The Mims hasn't even been able to get on the field. He's been hurt the whole time. We'll give that an incomplete. But you're just giving away your best players. And then, but don't even get me started on Adam Gase. Everybody knows how I feel about Adam Gase. The fact that this guy is, again, still employed when other teams are making changes, other teams in the league, like Houston and Atlanta, they realize that their product is not good on the field. At what point does this ownership need to say, enough is enough, we need to make a change? You've played five games. Four of those games you've lost by double-digit points. Every single game you've lost by 9 or more points. You've been completely uncompetitive in every single game. It's absolutely disgusting football. I was watching this game, and I honestly didn't even realize that Arizona scored another touchdown at one point. I looked over to my left, and Justin and Emily came over, and I said to Justin, when did they score again? He's like, 5 minutes ago. I didn't even realize.
5 minutes ago.
I didn't even realize because
you were too busy watching your fantasy team kick my ass this week is what you were doing.
Phil, it's gotten to a point where, and I haven't watched many of these games, and now that my busy season is starting to come to an end here, I'll be able to watch a little bit more. I was so much more wrapped up into my fantasy team than watching this garbage on the football field. I can't. It is unwatchable. It is unwatchable football. In all of the years that I've been watching the Jets, all of the years, I've witnessed the Rich Kotite era, the 1-15 team. All of the years where it's lackluster football and ups and downs, this is by far the worst football team I have ever seen. The 0-16 Lions look better than this. And you can't even battle me on that.
Nope, you're right.
This team doesn't even look like it's prepared to play. I feel bad for Sam Darnold because everybody's saying they're going to have to trade Sam. The kid has no weapons. Who is he handing the ball off to now? He's going to hand off the ball to Frank Gore. You're probably going to trade Jamison Crowder. Who's he throwing the football to? He's got no weapons, and then you're going to put that as a reflection of his quarterback play. Adam Gase did the same thing with Ryan Tannehill, and look at what happened. You have good coaching, good offensive line, good defense, a unified system, talent around him, and he's not a game manager anymore. Ryan Tannehill is not a game manager. He threw for three touchdowns and ran for another one yesterday. And absolutely put a beatdown on Buffalo. A beatdown. And by the way, Tennessee had one day to practice in the last 2 weeks, and they still put up 42 points against a Buffalo team that had been running all over people.
Yeah.
It, it, Again, you answered me the question. At what point is enough enough and they say, you know what, we got to wash our hands with this guy? Is it 0-8, 0-9? I mean, what is it? I mean, this team on paper right now with the rest of their schedule will not win a football game.
So let's see. They go Arizona last week. So they play Miami this week, right? And then they have a bye, right? Is it the bye's after this week? After the Miami game?
No, because they changed everything around. Because
did they
move Miami? Right, because of the COVID situation. So they moved the whole schedule around.
So let's see. You're right. I didn't even think to look at that. So let's see. Back to the Jets.
So they played for the
So wait,
play
do they play Dolphins back to back? Oh no, Dolphins.
No, not anymore.
Okay, now I see. I see.
Because of they moved the Charger game. So the next week was supposed to be the Chargers, but because of the COVID and the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
The Chargers are actually getting screwed. So they got to play Miami, who just absolutely crushed the 49ers. Then they got to play the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. And then you go into the bye. You are.
Okay, so it's after that.
100%. You are 100% 0-9 going into the bye.
So after the Patriots beat up on them on Sunday Night Football, maybe that'll be the last straw.
No, that's Monday Night Football.
You're right. That's ESPN. That's Monday Night Football.
For the world to see.
Exactly. I was just going to say that for the world to see.
That game is going to be 45-3. By then, the Jets will have nobody on their team, and the people who are on the team won't want to play. They're just going to go through the motions, try not to get hurt, and go to the next thing. Listen, the only thing that can come out of this is the fact that they're going to save a ton of money on the cap. They're going to have the number one amount of cap space.
But are they though?
Probably somewhere around $80 to $81 million.
Isn't there a dead cap hit though with Le'Veon Bell though? Isn't there a dead cap hit somewhere?
Yeah, but I think they're hitting it this year because after this year, I don't think there was one.
Yeah, I heard. I don't remember. I'll have to look at that. But all right. So basically, they have a lot of cap space after this.
And they know exactly what they get when they go to the Jets. They are playing for a loser franchise that has never won. They're playing for a coach that is, an absolute moron. And obviously, you're going to have to put personal relationships aside because Joe Douglas and Adam Gase are apparently friends outside of this. But he's going to have to fire him. And the way that the structure of the Jets work is that the GM and the coach both report to the owner. It's not the coach reports to the GM and the GM reports to the owner. That system is all cockamamie and needs to change immediately too. Because Joe Douglas is going to say, wait, hold on, you signed me to a six-year contract and you won't even let me pick my own coach. Like, how does that work? It's so dysfunctional, Phil.
I see it. Now, unless they have a pretty good idea that they're – I mean, I know you've been pining for the offensive coordinator from Kansas City for quite some time now, so –
He's not going to come to the Jets. Why would he want to come to the Jets? The Houston job is open.
Well, that's true, too. You're right. The Houston job is open.
Why would you come to the Jets?
And you have Deshaun Watson.
The ownership has no friggin' idea what they're doing. Or you can go and get Deshaun Watson as your quarterback and J.J. Watt as your defensive end and a somewhat good defense – and offensive weapons that, if they were coached properly, could be. And by the way, Bill O'Brien got fired, but the last 3 or 4 years, the Texans won the division. So the talent isn't that bad in Houston.
No, not at all. I mean, you trade away DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. I don't know if that's still a. I don't know who won. Well, we know who won that trade so far, but.
Well, we know who won that one. It was Arizona.
Arizona, right?
Obviously. Bill O'Brien lost it because not only did he lose the trade, but he also lost his job probably because of it.
Right.
I say the same thing each and every week. If they were losing and they were losing competitively, it'd be one thing. Like, you'd be frustrated. But this is ineptitude beyond ineptitude. It's dysfunctional. It's a circus. They're making headlines for the exact wrong reason. You're putting young players' talents. I'm telling you, you're ruining Sam Darnold's career. You're ruining it because he's going to look at this and say, I'm not very good, or he's going to move on to another place. And I mean, he had to be thinking, he had to be watching the game on Sunday thinking to himself, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to get the hell out of here, especially watching last night's game and seeing how Tannehill plays. You got to think somewhere in his mind he's saying to himself, I'm a better quarterback than this coach is screwing me. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately. I mean, look at that. So did Fitzpatrick play under Gase too, or was he not in Miami yet?
No.
Okay.
He was in.
I mean, he's been. I mean, Fitzpatrick. That's right. Tampa. Right.
He was in Tampa that year.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Sunday's a Fitzpatrick revenge game against his old team.
Fitz played awesome against the 49ers. He played so good, and I don't know if it was a combination of Garoppolo playing so bad, but he did not have a great game. However, Fitz played unbelievable. If he plays like that, there's no way the Jets stand a chance. This game will be over very, 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 very quickly.
And you know what the problem is? So that's only the second game. I'm sorry. They're only one of two games on that 4 o'clock slate. It's the Dolphins and the Dolphins and the Jets. And the Tampa Bay versus Green Bay. I wonder which game the national broadcast is going to pick up.
Their schedule after the bye is the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Browns, and the Patriots. There's no fucking way they win a game. There's no way.
No, and I think, did we say, what? I forget what we said last week. We said maybe the Charger game. Not with the way Justin Herbert's tossing the ball.
No. He's the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to throw for 350 yards in his first three games or something.
Yeah, and he's throwing three touchdowns a game, it feels like.
And the Chargers, don't let their record, I mean, they're 1-4. They're a better football team than a 1-4 football team. They've lost two games, I think, in overtime, and that's with a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they don't stand a chance.
Yeah, this is, man, I want to be up. You know me, I'm the optimistic one around here, but I don't know what game they win here. I really don't. Unless the Bills have come crashing down to earth, because we saw what happened last night against Tennessee, but, I mean, that could have just been a hiccup.
They're not. I mean,
yeah,
I personally think Tennessee is a very, very good football team. And the Bills are a very good football team, too.
You just caught them on a bad day, probably.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know why the Bills played so bad. But you look at that game, and yeah, Josh Allen didn't have the greatest of games, but he has so much more potential and so much more weapons than Sam does, and that's the problem. This is the same thing. Listen, I know, I say this all the time, too. Mark Sanchez brought the Jets the back-to-back AFC championship games. Okay, he had a good offensive coordinator, Rex Ryan as a head coach, which was solid on defense, and he had weapons around him. As soon as you started taking away the offensive coordinator and the weapons, you ruined his career. Ruined it. This is what you're doing to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. I mean, so did you listen to the Michael Kay show on the way home from work today at all? Did you indulge in any of the talking heads or anything?
I caught it at.
I'm just curious what they had to say on this whole ordeal.
Yeah, I caught it at 4:30, and I think by then they were already gassed out of it. But the consensus is pretty much like, what the hell.
I mean,
I know that the relationship didn't work, and I know that eventually he was going to go, but to get nothing for him.
Right, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
So apparently they were trying to shop him.
You're letting him walk away. He's going. The Patriots have no running game.
Well, no,
they have no running game. You don't think for one second in that offensive system that he could sign for the Patriots, could play with Cam Newton, who's a qualified quarterback, with Julian Edelman, who's a solid wide receiver, with, you know, Bill Belichick, and
then he gets to stick it to the Jets two more times.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
So you're
absolutely ridiculous.
So you're willing to bet he goes to the Patriots?
They always do.
I agree.
Shit,
I mean,
the Jets let Danny Woodhead go. Now, Danny Woodhead isn't, a Hall of Fame running back. But the Patriots signed him when the Jets released him, and he won 2 Super Bowls. and he was a major cog in the wheel.
They knew how to use him.
Again, well, I mean, just again, it goes back to, the Jets' evaluation of talent.
Yeah. So this is all the time.
Different coach, different GM. Different coach, different GM. It's the same bullshit over and over and over again. You're not good enough to play for the Jets, really.
Yeah, right.
Really.
I hope that's not the mantra that's not the swagger they're walking around with. So apparently
Joe Douglas got hired and he says, I want to change the culture. I want the New York Jets to be a great place that people want to come play for. That's what he said in the press conference. I know because I watched it. I watched him say it on SNY. I saw his mouth say those words. This is a fucking joke. This is a joke.
So apparently the word
is the culture. This is the culture you want to build. Nobody wants to play for you. The players don't. The players that you sign to big contracts basically force their way out. And you have no balls or backbone in saying you're under contract, you're going to play. You just give them what they want.
Oh, listen.
Their best player was Jamal Adams, and he bitched and complained. And, yeah, you got two first-round picks. He's the best safety in the NFL.
So you
and you traded him to the Seahawks, who are going to fucking win the Super Bowl this year.
Wait a minute. This isn't breaking news, but it's chatter. I'm being told by my various inside sources that it's looking like, you ready for this? Bell to the Chiefs.
Why would they do that?
Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is all hype, and it's not what they paid for him. You think that Le'Veon Bell on an Andy Reid run first? Well, I shouldn't say run first. Andy Reid would know how to use Le'Veon Bell. Did you agree?
Oh my God.
If Le'Veon Bell goes to the Chiefs, they're winning the Super Bowl again.
Oh my God Almighty!
I mean, it's not the Patriots. It's probably the second.
It doesn't matter. This is the kind of crap that makes me want to jump off a bridge.
He's literally going from, quite frankly, one of the worst teams in the league to literally the best team in the league.
Is this accurate? Is this?
I mean, I'm getting.
Is this just chatter?
It's just chatter. I mean, I'm getting some texture. I haven't seen anything official from anybody in the know. Anybody like a Schefter or something. I mean, I can check Twitter real quick. Cause that's really the only reason I have Twitter is for things like this. But I don't see anything official. It's more just speculation. So. No, it's not a done deal, but, where there's smoke, there's fire. Listen, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, I think he rushed, I mean, I have to pull it up, but he rushed 10 or 15 times for like 30 yards yesterday, or Sunday. Not very good. He only has one touchdown in week one. So,
yeah, but
if you were them, would you trust the rookie?
I wouldn't give up on him either because he's certainly.
Not saying they're giving up on him, but if you're going to rent Bell for a year, for a Super Bowl run, which clearly they're in the driver's seat for a repeat, are you going to go with the grizzled veteran, or are you going to go with the rookie who is, just moderately coming along? Or they could just be a great 1-2 punch.
God help me.
Think about that. Listen, when Beckham left, right, I said, all right, you can trade him. Just trade him to the different conference because I don't want to see him in the NFC again. I don't want to have to play him 2 times a year in the division. Go to the other conference, if anything. But they didn't stop the game, but they literally broke the news during the game. I think there was like a SportsCenter, breaking news segment. I don't remember the last time that's happened during a broadcast, but they literally tuned in and said, hey, Le'Veon Bell is going to be released. Unbelievable. I know you're speechless now. it's more like a haze now. I'm sure last night you were fired up. Today's more like, oh, this is really happening.
Well, last night when it happened, I had two bourbons in me, and I was like, I was fired up. I said to you and Dan, I said, emergency podcast right now.
I was ready to
and
do
I,
it.
I know you were, but I was afraid that it was just going to be F-bombs after F-bombs. I mean, I've already said enough of them tonight. It's not very professional. Honestly, I don't really give a shit. But, I think to myself, how much more as a Jet fan, somebody who leads this team, right? I mean, and I'm not the only one. I listen to sports radio. All of these diehard Jet fans that call in each and every week after every game, and they suffer like I suffer, like my dad has suffered his entire life, like my brother suffers. Oh, how much more of this can we handle? If you had fired the coach, and that would help. But again, and you still haven't given me a clear answer, at what point is enough enough?
Rumors were
2 weeks ago when they lost to Denver that they were going to fire him after the Denver game. Nothing happened.
That's when I was convinced it was going to happen. I think I told you before the game, I said if they lose this game, there's no way he's there on Friday. But that clearly wasn't it. I mean, are you really going to wait till you get embarrassed on Monday Night Football by the Patriots? I mean, that's I don't know.
That's even worse. That's even worse.
Only because you're going to a bye week, so you have 2 weeks to for the new incoming coach to settle in. Usually, you make coaching changes or quarterback changes during the bye week.
Last year, you were a really bad football team, and you basically won your back half of your schedule because your schedule was so easy, and it gave your maybe not so much like your fans because I wasn't sold on this year. But it gave your ownership and it gave the people in the building a false sense of hope that, okay, we've righted the ship and Adam Gase can figure it out. If this has been such a poor resemblance of football, there are college football teams that there are SEC teams that play better football than the Jets right now.
Well,
I don't know what else has to happen for this coach to lose his job.
I mean, it really can't get any worse. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I know you keep asking the question, but I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. We're just going to have to suffer week after week after week and hope that finally this is the week. Finally, this is the week. If not, finally, this is... Maybe next week's the week.
I have to think.
I have a bad feeling it's going to be the whole season, though, because at some point it becomes too late, right? Like, what's the point? You're not gonna fire somebody with 4 games left or 3 games left. At some point, there has to be a cutoff, right? So once you get to that cutoff, whatever it is.
I mean, but look at their schedule. They on paper, the way this team is constructed, the way that this team is playing. They will not win a football game. Does the organization want to be one of three teams ever to not win a football game? Do they want that? Do they want that on their plate? Shit.
Yeah.
Four years ago, the Dolphins were so bad, everybody thought they were going to go 0-16, and they still found a way to win one or two games. This team cannot win at all.
So I'm even seeing here that Sam Darnold's already been ruled out for this week against the against
lucky
the Dolphins.
Us, we get Joe Flacco again. Lucky us.
It doesn't get any easier. It does not get any easier. This is it's painful. It's absolutely painful. My team's no better, by the way. It's just as painful to watch this.
We talk about this each and every week, Phil.
I know.
Your team is showing signs of life and is competitive. And I told
signs of life.
Yeah, but I told you last week that if Daniel Jones doesn't turn the football over, they could easily have three wins. Sunday was another product of that.
Well, that happened so early in the game, though.
He turns the football. Yeah, but he turned the football over and it creates points.
Well, yeah. Well, the Giants also had a pick six, so that kind of cancels it out.
I mean, that's optimism at its finest,
but it's true. But you're right.
But they still had an opportunity to win that football game. Andy Dalton made two unbelievable throws on the last drive of the game, and that's basically how they won.
And there was no doubt in my mind they were gonna lose that game by a field goal. There was too much time left on the clock, and you know, what do you need, 30, 40 yards to kick a field goal? And they got much more than that. Listen, at least it was a fun game to watch. At least it was, at some point, the Giants were winning, and you had the sense they were going to win. You know, Daniel Jones was throwing touchdowns, and Devonta Freeman looks like a running back again all of a sudden. Now, I don't know if that's the offensive line finally figuring something out, or is Dallas overall that bad on defense? I'm leaning towards the latter, because everybody puts points up against Dallas. If the Giants couldn't put points up against Dallas, then that's an even bigger problem. But they hung 34 on them. I mean, that's by far the biggest amount, you know, that they've gone all season. I mean, what did we say last week? They were averaging 11 points something points a game, and they put up 34. Is it turning a corner? I love to say yes, but I'm not. You know, do it against Washington, then I'll tell you that they're turning a corner, because everybody runs Dallas out of
Washington.
Yeah, everybody runs Dallas. You know, runs up the score on Dallas. They just happen to have a really good offense themselves, where they can keep up. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and gloat that Dak got hurt, because you don't want to see people get injured. I'd rather beat people on the field than, you know, have them get hurt. But that was, I don't know if you saw it, but
We were watching it live.
His leg was the other way. That's one of the few injuries. Like, I haven't seen the Alex Smith one. There's a bunch of college ones I refuse to watch. That one I just happened to see, and at first I didn't notice it because I saw him holding his calf. Then when they showed the replay, I'm like, his foot is facing the other way.
As soon as the tackle was made, Justin and I looked at each other and were like, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, they brought that card out real fast on the field.
Dude, yeah, I noticed that. That card was on the field in like 5 seconds. It was there.
I'm sure whoever was the closest to Dak was like, bring the cart right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was, what is it, a dislocation in a compound fracture?
Something like that, of his ankle? It was like three different things, yeah. Not good.
I mean, I mean.
Surprisingly, he's only going to be out 4 to 6 months.
I know you're not a Dallas fan, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but he gave up a contract that was $100 million guaranteed.
That's a whole different conversation. You know, versus not getting paid for, you know, a multi-year extension.
But you know that's going to take a huge hit financially on him. I mean, what Dallas can do is they can franchise him again for next year. They'll pay him $37 million, whatever the tag number is. And then
they almost have to. Even with a shattered ankle. I mean, are you going to give a guy that just shattered his ankle the previous year $35 million? They almost have to.
He's gonna have to go out there and prove that he can play the way that, I mean.
Well, that's on pace.
Regardless of what the team actually was doing, I mean, he was on pace to set records this year. Well, I mean, he was on pace to prove that he was worth the contract that he wanted.
I mean, he's also getting the benefit of having to throw the ball 60 times a game because his defense sucks so bad that they're down, you know. They're down 20 points a game at some point during the season.
Nevertheless, I mean, if that's how he's got to make his money, yeah. God bless him.
You're right. And again, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, wax poetic about it, because that's you don't want to see that. That sucks. I'm not gonna gloat about that. I'd rather gloat if he was on the field and we beat him. That's more fun to gloat about. Not that injury. No thanks. But I mean, if I'm going to look at Daniel Jones' stat line, yes, I know he had the turnover, but I mean, he finally had a decent game. 222, 20 for 33, and, you know, he had no touchdowns. He should have had one at least, but he got called back.
Yeah, but no interceptions, so I mean, that's a start.
The it sucks too, that fake field goal to Evan. Illegal formation must be the absolute stupidest penalty in the entire world. Just because a guy doesn't bend over and touch the ground or move 3 inches close to the ground, that's an illegal formation. That guy had absolutely no bearing on how that play was going to run, even if he kicked the field goal, right? I don't even know why that penalty exists. It's absolutely asinine. You cost them Evan Ingram's sitting there, you know, by the numbers with nobody around him, and you call back a touchdown. It was a fantastic call, fantastic play, but because a guy didn't touch the ground or move 3 inches to the ground, whatever it is, it's illegal formation. I mean, that just, it's ridiculous. I can't stand that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's the rule, but it's a stupid rule.
There are some stupid bonehead penalties in the NFL.
And that's one of them.
That's certainly one of them.
Man. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be pissed at an 0-4 team lost again. It was a fun game to watch. You know, they were up 14-3 after the first quarter. Dallas scored 21 in the second. You know, it was back and forth after a while. And then Dallas just kicks that last second field goal, which, again, I knew was coming. There was just too much time left on that clock, and 37-34, and Giants are 0-5. It's so stupid. Dallas is leading the division at 2-3. 2-3. So technically the Giants are only 2 games out of first place. I'm not even going to sit here and be optimistic that they can win the division because it's stupid. I'm not even going to discuss it. But it's not off the table, right? If for some reason this game was hey, we fixed our offensive line. Hey, we can throw the ball down the field. Hey, Devonta Freeman can now run the ball. You know, what did he have? Let's see. Devonta, 17 on 60. Not great, but, he finally scores a touchdown. He looked like a running back again. Man, Darius Slayton had another game, 129 yards. So it's again, like you said, it's something is there. It's not there yet. It's something. Everything still has to click, but at least there's something there. But we still have a long way to go. Then, all right, so now the schedule gets a little softer, right? We mentioned, they played Dallas with a soft defense. Now you got to play Washington, which Dwayne Haskins, I don't think to anyone's surprise, is not playing anymore. I don't think they told him not to come to the building.
Is Alex Smith playing?
So the only reason Alex Smith got in the game is because Kyle Allen got his bell rung. I don't know if he's still in concussion protocol or not at the moment as we sit here this week. So I don't actually know who's starting the game right now. I would suspect if Kyle Allen is still not ready to go, then yes, we're going to see Alex Smith for a full game. Did you see, I don't know if you saw any of that game, because I was watching our red zone back and forth. As soon as Alex Smith goes in the game, his wife was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, she was like, she looked pretty nervous. Because they showed her
in the
stands.
I would be too.
Yeah.
I mean, considering that his right calf is his left quad muscle, yeah, I would be slightly concerned.
Whoever fixed him did a hell of a job.
Phil, you got to watch that documentary.
I can't watch it.
Like they show there was nothing left of his leg. It was all cut out.
I can't watch it.
It was down to the bone.
not gonna watch that. It's terrible. I'm all set with that. It's gross. All right, so you got Washington next week. Then you play the Eagles. Then you got to play the Bucs. That's a tough game on Monday Night Football. Then you play Washington, then the Eagles again. So four out of your next five games are against bottom-feeding division opponents because no one's going to convince me the Eagles are any good, and we know Washington's not any good. So God forbid you win four out of those five, and they're all division games. I'm not even going to say it, but you could be sitting at 4-5 and right in the thick of it. As stupid as that sounds, and I don't even know if they deserve it. As we sit right now, no, they don't deserve to win any division. But God forbid they put something together. Who the hell knows, right? Because then you got the Bengals and the Seahawks, all right. Then you got the Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, and Cowboys. So the way they end the season is not very good. But if you're, like you said, show me something in this middle part, in this easier part of the schedule that Daniel Jones is improving, that the offensive line is starting to gel. The defense, by the way, as we've talked about and I've heard other analysts talk about, is not as bad as we all thought because everyone predicted the Giants were going to be bottom of the league in defense, and they're far from that, by the way. Far from it.
Their defense has played much better than what I think people were anticipating.
Oh, much better. Bradberry, I forget his first name. Bradberry was the best acquisition they had in the offseason. He's basically replaced Norris Jenkins as the top cornerback on the Giants, I mean. So, yeah, does Washington scare me? No, but, again, I have no confidence that they're going to win any games right now. I'd love to see it, and I want to be proven wrong. But this 4 out of 5 stretches is where we can start at least turning something around or at least salvaging something because Listen, New York, both New York teams are in a race for that last spot. And right now they're tied.
Yeah, but I think that this is the Jets. The Giants are a much better team than what their record shows.
I'd like to think that, but
I believe that. And to your point, the fact that they play in such a bad division, if they can win two of these next three or four games, I mean they're right back.
And then you get to play Dallas again.
They're right back in it.
Right, and then you get to play Dallas again that last game of the season, which you know is not going to have Dak.
Right.
Right. So. Let's wait a few more weeks and see what actually happens, because we could be sitting here at 0-10 by that point. God forbid, right. I hope not, but we could be. I can't imagine. They're going to win one of these games around here in the next few weeks. They're going to. The Washington Eagles, they're not good. They're not good. I don't care if Alshon Jeffrey's coming back anytime soon. I don't care if Dallas Goedert's coming back. I mean, the Eagles are not a good team. And Washington, we all know what Washington is. Nothing. Bunch of nothing. But at the same time, so are we. 0-5. Man. Another terrible week of football, right?
Another terrible week of football.
So what did you think about that Tuesday game? That was kind of...
It was nice to get football.
It was. It's interesting. But the last time that happened was back in 2010. I thought it was much longer than that. I don't even remember the 2010 game when Philadelphia had a blizzard. At all.
Didn't they play Baltimore?
I couldn't tell you because I don't even remember that. But, I mean, they said that was in 2010. And it was the time before that wasn't since, the 40s or something. I forget what the hell it was. It was the first time, yeah. But, yeah, it was nice to have Tuesday night football.
Yeah.
See, I think we're going to miss Thursday because, you know, we're going to miss Thursday night football this week. I'm going to miss it.
There's no game on Thursday?
No, because the Bills were supposed to be on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
So they got moved to Monday, I think, because there's two Monday night games next week again.
This whole COVID thing is...
Well, let's hope it's the end. Well, right, but let's hope that's the... we still don't know what the penalty is going to be for Tennessee. It sounds like... Well, I don't even know what it sounds like because nothing's been official, but there's... murmurings that they're supposed to drop the hammer on Tennessee based on what they find when they do their internal investigation.
Yeah.
Man.
All right, so I have a question for you.
All right.
There's... there's 6-4-1 teams. Okay, the Bills, the Ravens, the Browns, the Chiefs, the Bears, and the Rams. I want you to pick one of those. Actually, not one of those, because exclude the Chiefs. Okay, pick one of those 4-1 teams that is not for real.
Well, if we're going to go off of recency bias, you look at what the Bills did last night, but I think they're better than what they showed last night. I think they were just, I don't know. I think they were caught off guard, to be quite honest with you. I guess if you would ask around the league, it's probably going to be the Bears. You know, is Nick Foles really going to lead another team in a big run?
Top eight defense.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. What do you think?
Defense wins championships.
So let's see. Baltimore is coming back to earth a little bit, right? Lamar Jackson lit the league on fire last year with his running and not so much passing, but he basically lit the league.
Sorry not to interrupt you. I wanted to make sure that I verified what I just said. The Bears have the fourth best defense in the league right now.
Okay, so even better than you thought.
Yeah, even better than I thought.
So, Baltimore, we think he still is a contender. Cleveland, I think Cleveland is finally clicking. And if Nick Chubb was not hurt, they'd probably be undefeated right now. That's not true because they lost to Baltimore, so I take that back. They're going to miss Chubb at some point this year. Kansas City, obviously, you know, the Bears. Hey, I'm looking at the schedule now, or I'm looking at the standings. Didn't you say the Seahawks were going to go 15-1?
I had them going 15-1.
They might go 16-0. I mean, they can score at will against anybody. It doesn't matter who.
And you both laughed at me. And Russell Wilson is so underrated. What he did on that last drive on Monday was unbelievable. And DK Metcalf is an absolute stud.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. They will never be out of a game. You know, even when the Chiefs were losing to the Raiders by two touchdowns, you're like, the Chiefs can still come back, and they almost did. I mean, they cut that deficit in half. But you feel like they're never out of a game. And Seattle's one of those teams that's never going to be out of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Totally agree.
So I guess the answer, I'm still going to stick with Chicago, though, because I just – there's let's see, who'd they beat? Let me look at the schedule real quick. I got to – so they beat the Lions, Giants, the Falcons.
The Falcons are – I mean – but, again, if the Falcons – the Falcons' offense is not the problem. Their defense can't stop a nosebleed.
No, and they won a shootout 30-26. And if I remember, they won on the last drive of the game, I think. One drive or second last drive. They won it late in the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly, a few weeks ago. But it doesn't matter. They still got the win. I'm going to stick with the Bears, you know, for a few more weeks. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So do we have any teams that we think is going to crawl out of the cellar and make a surprise run? Because remember, we have that extra wild card team. Is there any one of these teams, I'm sure you're looking at the standings too, that can just pull together or really are not what their record says they are? I'm going to exclude everybody from the NFC East right now. So don't go into that one.
Oh, boy. I mean, New England's 2-2. Miami's 2-3. The Colts are 3-2. I mean, Phillip Rivers is certainly I think that division is pretty much wrapped up at this point.
They're only one game behind Tennessee.
I mean, I guess eventually the Saints have to get it together, right? I mean, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Panthers are all 3-2, and I'm not sold on the Panthers.
So the Saints have not had Michael Thomas for 3.5 games. So you're right. They're right. Probably the one team where we have a couple question marks around because they obviously have not had their best player, but yet they're leading the division. Well, they're tied for the lead, but they're leading the division.
Right. Yeah, I would go Saints. I mean, I think when they get Michael Thomas back, and I mean, Drew Brees has certainly taken a step back this year. His arm is not as strong as it once was, and
That's true, but I also wonder if he doesn't trust anybody as much as he trusts Michael Thomas. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. It's possible. It's why, you know what? We're going to find out next 2 weeks because they're on a bye. But we're going to find out when Michael Thomas comes back, because if he starts slinging the ball around the field again, it's because he probably didn't trust anybody like he trusts Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas catches 80% of his passes. I mean, it's insane what it was. I mean, he set the record last year.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's pick some games because we're running out of time here.
All right. All right, so the Giants are playing Washington. Let me see if I can find the spread while we're going over the Jet one.
I got the spreads called up.
All right, cool.
Giants are 3-point favorites, which is really? It's basically like a pick 'em.
They're 3-point favorites, huh?
3-point. They're given 3.
Wow. It must be in New York, huh?
No, it's in New York.
All right.
I'll take the Giants.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just sat here and told everyone how bad I think Washington is because that they are bad. Yeah, I'll give you the 3 points, or I'll lay the 3 points. I'm surprised they're actually favored. An 0-5 team is favored against anybody, but I guess I'll take them. Vegas knows better than we do. I think for the Jets, they are 9 or 8.5 point underdogs, if I remember.
They're right to the minute, they're 8. And I'm taking the Dolphins, lay the points.
Would you lay it at 9?
Yeah, I would.
Would you lay it at 10?
I probably would.
Would you lay it at 12?
I don't think I would go to 12. 10 is probably my max. I really think that the way Miami has played the last few weeks has shown that, you know, this team plays for fits. They play for their coach. They, you know.
It's actually fun to watch Fitzpatrick play again. Like, it's just incredible to watch.
They don't have a great running game, but Devontae Parker is really good, and their defense is not great, but it's okay.
Are they getting Byron Jones back? Because that could be bad news for you too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, again,
who's he going to cover?
Bad news.
They're going to put him on Jamison Crowder. News. You know, maybe if Chris Herndon showed up, you know, and wasn't on a milk carton, that might help you out.
Nah, lay the points. I'm taking the Dolphins.
All right, I have to agree with you on that. I have to agree with you. I don't want to, but I have to. I wonder if we're finally going to get a win this week. Vegas is saying they should. Let's see if they're right. I don't know.
We'll see.
It sucks.
We'll see.
All right, I think we've depressed everybody enough for this week. So let's see what happens next week. And by the time we do this again, we'll probably know where Le'Veon Bell is. We will see if the first inkling that I got from one of my insiders saying that the Chiefs is true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised. That actually makes a ton of sense, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
So we'll see. All right, everybody. Like I said, catch us up.
The rich get richer.
Always, right? That's why the Patriots were always getting those guys at the end of their careers, and they bought into the system, and it seemed to work.
Yep.
All right, so everyone, like I said, catch us on Buzzchop. Follow the Instagram post, Section 323 Podcast, and we will be back next week with more Venom to Spill.